Hi, I'm Kate.
And I'm Lori. We've always thought that the most compelling story strikes the perfect balance between an honest look at the mess of life and the humor that can be found in the mess. To be perfectly honest, we don't really know how to live life without both the humor and the authenticity.
Our podcast might be a little bit of whiplash at times. We can spin from hard and deep to humor and laughing on a dime. The hard will be really hard, and the truths we share are the ugliest of humanity. We don't intend to make it seem like it's all fine or to pretty up the pain, but we also know that the joy we found is all the more profound because of the pain.
So we hope you can stick with us through the ugly, because there will also be joy and hope and humor. Welcome to The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door.
Hi, welcome back to our podcast, The Ugly Truth About the Girl Next Door. I am Kate.
And I am Lori. And as always, this is attempt number three.
We have decided to introduce ourselves because there are people who maybe have just jumped in and not started from the beginning. So that was the foregone conclusion today.
Or the excuse.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yes. Yeah. So if you have jumped in, the very first episode is actually finding my voice. And if you've jumped in and you would prefer to read most of the transcripts for most of the episodes are now available on our website, theuglytruthaboutthegirlnextdoor.com.
Yep.
So go check it out. What are we up to today, Kate?
So today we are talking about the concept of DARVO. DARVO is an acronym that stands for deny, attack, and reverse victim and offender. So why are we talking about this today? Right. So it's a phenomenon, I guess, a concept that speaks to kind of what happens, what the reaction is when, an offender is confronted, confronted, right? Is there more words to
challenged
that?
In some way?
Yes.
Yes.
When the truth kind of comes to light, when victims are doing exactly what we're doing, kind of dragging it out into the light, when that happens, this is literally like a phenomenon that's been researched as to how offenders typically respond. Not all the time. We have had many. What?
No, I'm making a face because. Right. Well, first off, because I had to get up and take the toy away from Silas because his chewing could probably be heard across America. Okay. But I do think that, I don't know, what else would an offender say other than, what? How dare you accuse me of such a thing?
No, true. Absolutely. Yep. I agree. So yeah, it's literally like a phenomenon that's been researched. And we did a little research of our own. And we've encountered this. We have, so as we said.
Okay.
Oh God, I'm so tired. as we said in one of our more recent episodes that, we haven't released names necessarily, but we have given some people's names who've been involved to, people in authority, people in law enforcement, people, who have a concern for safety in their church and in their organization. And so there have been offenders who, in my specific, I can't even speak today, my goodness. In my specific story, who have been confronted by either law enforcement or leadership.
Very gently, by the way, by those in leadership.
Yeah. And watching this concept of DARVO play out has really been just like, okay, this is unbelievable. And yet so believable because like, it's literally a phenomenon
that happens. Been your whole life.
Oh God. Yeah. It's been my whole life. This is literally what has been happening to me for so long. So as we said, it's an acronym, stands for deny, attack, reverse victim and offender. So the research shows that it's especially used against survivors of sexual violence. This is just me and my own like opinion, but again, it kind of is one of those things that comes out. We talked about comparing like something that's like a public event that like everybody has seen happen, like a shooting or something like that, versus like these things happen in secret in like secret places. Nobody sees, like, right, it's like a he said, she said kind of thing. And so that's where this comes into play. And I think that's maybe why it's typically use.
And often there's not available evidence.
Right. There's not a witness. There's not. Yeah.
There's also not often physical evidence available for the most part because of just the nature of these crimes.
Right. Right. So we have seen this kind of come to light or come about repeatedly. My family, my parents, they definitely follow this pattern when they were confronted, both in kind of our initial meeting a couple years ago, just setting boundaries. This was their response before we even ever, you know, went into this territory. But then again, when they were confronted by people at the chapel.
And how about when you finally, were 12?
Yep. When I, right. Your yeah. I mean, this has literally been across the board. This is their response, is to deny the behavior happened, attack the survivor, me, and then reverse those roles, making themselves the victim and me the offender for
hurting them.
Yeah. So we just want to kind of pull it apart a little bit today. So go for it, Lori, because okay. Clearly I'm struggling with the words today.
So the D stands for deny, right? So deny that the behavior ever happened. So that's an obvious one. Again, who really thinks that a perpetrator is going to say, why, thank you for bringing it to my attention. Yes, in fact, I have done these heinous things. No, that doesn't happen. I can think of one time in my career when someone was accused. Now, mind you, it had gotten to the point that law enforcement was involved, but this person is the only person I have ever known who admitted what he did and did everything that he could to repair not the necessarily the relationship with his children, his child that he abused, but to provide healing opportunities for the child that he abused one time in 30 something years. Every other time I have been in a similar situation, there has been denial, which of course, what else would we expect? And that certainly was what Kate shared when she shared about the both escape attempts, right? Certainly the middle school escape attempt. The response was, that, you know, what are you talking about?
Shock. It was just like, oh my gosh, we're shocked that you would even say this. Oh my goodness. Of course not.
And when there was evidence of Kate not being okay, there was either flat out denial or it was, I'm just not going to even address it. So there's the denial, right? Verbal denial of, what are you talking about? That never happened. Mm-hmm. But then there's just like, la, 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 la. I don't hear you. I'm just going to pretend like you don't exist.
That
I'm
could
going.
Be a meme.
It certainly
yeah.
could be.
Yeah.
Right. So that's this kind of denial as well. Like, I'm just not going to engage this conversation.
Yeah.
And hope that you just sit down and shut up.
Yeah. Yeah. It's almost like they're offended that you would even ask. And so it's like, I'm not even, it doesn't even warrant a response.
I mean, that's what we've heard over
that's
and over. That's literally
what we've heard over and over.
It to us, but also what we're hearing from other people is when someone went to the adults in your world to say, hey, we have a concern about how Kate's doing. Often they were just cut off.
Yeah. It was like, no,
we had a friendship.
It's none of your business. Bye. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Right.
Sometimes the denial is also almost laughable.
Often.
we had a law enforcement person. So some of the things that have been left at my house, the threats that have been made, one of them included a Polaroid camera. And that was used in taking pictures of the abuse. Obviously left with the intent of a reminder of that, you know, whatever.
And can I just comment
mm-hmm.
that inside the Polaroid camera was one of your old
report cards. Yeah.
So who would have had
that in their
possession?
And I actually, yes. But so when my abuser was confronted with this Polaroid camera by this law enforcement person, he said, I have a collection of Polaroid cameras, but that one isn't mine. Which I just feel like, can we talk about who has a collection of Polaroid cameras, right? Like, it's just
normal.
A ridiculous, mm-hmm. There's also been just flat out denial of information that can be validated. Like, why would you,
I mean, like, you almost just want to let that one sit there for a second.
Yeah.
A, I have a collection of Polaroid cameras. Okay.
Okay.
And then, oh, but that one isn't mine.
Yeah. And like showing that he literally showed her all of his Polaroid cameras as if like, well, I'm not missing any. Okay. But like, I don't, like there's no even way to like right. unpack I mean, that. That's
I don't,
just,
I don't even feel like we have to.
No,
like,
that's like insanity. Like, well, that's just dumb. But yeah, so the denial is just, I mean, it's all over the board. It's, yeah, it's either, yeah, we're not even, I'm not even, you're not even worth talking to anymore. Goodbye. Or it's like, I never, that's the other one that we've heard a lot. I've never even met her. Never, like, I don't, oh, okay. Well, that can be validated very quickly, very, very easily. Mm-hmm. So the denial is strong. But then if the denial doesn't kind of, well, even if it does, so they first deny. And then the next immediate action is usually the attack, which, again, I have seen throughout my entire life. So they attack the individual, the survivor. Again, research shows that they attempt to discredit. They spread lies for myself. You know, they spread the narrative about me. They try to get in front of it.
Right. So they start going around talking to people.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
The morning after our initial meeting with my abusers went directly to the chapel and started saying that she has mental health problems. She's dramatic. She's always been this way. No one at the chapel even asked. You know, like no one was even talking about the chapel. Mm-hmm. But they intentionally go on the attack. Right.
Even in situations where we have not made things public,
mm-hmm.
what we're hearing when there's been a confrontation or a conversation is now this is happening behind the scenes,
mm-hmm.
going around, talking to people, saying she's crazy, like mm-hmm. they couldn't be true.
Right. Which is kind of silly because, again, like we haven't made it public. You're making it public for yourself, right, by right. doing that. Like, it, yeah, anyway. But they use everything they can to discredit. They throw everything at it. The attack is again, there's, you know, sorry, I'm so distracted by your,
so your sorry.
Yeah.
My ring
like
alert.
What in the
okay,
world? Come fine. On. I'm trying to see like who's in the hallway.
Oh, Lord. Love the cameras. Yeah.
We got cameras everywhere.
Yes, we do. Just beware.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess, you know, going back to the attack concept is that it is, you've said it before, Kate, it's a playbook
mm-hmm.
and they just keep reading out of the playbook and they repeat it because it has really worked for them.
Mm-hmm.
By history, it has worked. And it's not working now. They
no.
keep trying the same playbook. So
right.
way back when, like when you were 12, that was the playbook. Deny it ever happened. Attack you. She's mm-hmm. crazy. She's sensitive.
And that's
she's...
literally still playing out, right? I mean, we mm-hmm. talked about the youth pastor that I had in high school mm-hmm. is literally still. So that's the other point that I want to make that we kind of maybe glazed over in the beginning. It's not just the offender who goes through these steps. It's the offender and their supporters. So anyone who is siding with the offender is also typically going through, especially the attack and the reversing the role of the victim and the offender. That so it's not just this one person kind of going through these motions. It's a whole group of people, which again, we are literally watching play out.
And if you listened to the last episode about deception and you paid attention when Zach was talking about that, you know, we see what we want to see because the alternative is very uncomfortable and we don't want to be uncomfortable. So when people have a certain belief about someone and then they get information that makes them have to stop and question that, they have to ask themselves, how was I fooled? And that's not comfortable. So they try to discredit the reporter.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how that goes.
Yeah, I read a thing that said, you know, everybody is against child abuse in the abstract, but when it becomes like a specific person that you maybe know or are friends with or close to, all of a sudden the whole game changes, right? Like nobody is going around thinking to themselves that it's okay that child abuse happens, except for child abusers, I guess. But supporters, you know, in the abstract, it's great to support a victim and, you know, be like, yeah, no, that's terrible. I can't believe that happened. But when push comes to shove and the rubber meets the road, Did you like all my little like, good. I know, right? I was really proud of myself that I got all the right words out. Anyways, it often falls apart, right? It's like the fair weather fan, right? For football. Fair weather fan. Yeah.
I think your fair weather friend is where you're trying to go. I'm so tired. Remember, you're going to win the award if you can help Kate sleep for a year.
You win.
You win.
I think a decade is actually
what you said. That's true.
I would take a year, though. That would be fine. Yeah, oh, my goodness. Yes.
And so we're talking about attacks on your character, mm-hmm. attacks on your mental health. Mm-hmm. But we're also talking about literal attacks.
Yes. Which, again, with the threats and the things that have been happening and coming, and the attacks are often intended to kind of chill and terrify the victim and their supporters, right? Like, mm-hmm. I am always concerned for Lori's safety as she is for mine, because it's, you know, yeah, we've said it before.
Right. Because that's also a way of controlling you.
Yes.
Is they make you afraid for me. Mm-hmm. And so they attempt to control you by threatening me.
So the attack is, yes, on my character. When they're out there in the public doing it, calling people, telling people all the things, it's Kate has mental health problems, Kate this, Kate that, trying to discredit. Then there's also actual, like we said before, threats to my safety. There's often legal threats, like, well, we're going to sue you. Mm-hmm. You know, you will go to jail if you tell about us. That was a lot of my life, right? Well, if you tell somebody what's happening, then we all go to jail, you included, because
I know you've said also that they've said, you know, you'll go to jail because no one will believe you and they'll think that you're making false allegations.
Yes. Yeah. I have definitely, they have said this to me before, that it's a crime to make a false allegation. It's a crime to file a false police report. And
even
therefore,
it's not false.
No, it's not false. Right. But that was the threat used against me. Like, well, no one's going to believe you. And then if they don't believe you, then you're going to go to jail because they don't believe you. So yeah, often includes legal threats. Even now it includes legal threats again, right? Like we talked about before, like we probably need an attorney someday soon, you know, because that's the threat that is out there, is that, well, you went public and so that, you know, we're going to sue you, I guess. I don't know.
Right. Which is ridiculous.
This is silly because you have no grounds to stand on, but okay. Anyways. So then, you know, reversing the role of the victim and the offender. This one is huge. And this one's huge. This is where the offender then makes themselves look like the one that's being hurt. They're the one that's being targeted. They're being unfairly accused. They make themselves out to be, you know, hurt by this information coming out. There's a thing in the article that I was reading about this saying that the media actually contributes to this part of the phenomenon when they talk about how much an offender stands to lose when an assault allegation is made, which is like, wow, that's like way flipped on its head. Like, let's talk about what the survivor has already lost, not what the offender stands to lose
by rightly held accountable for their actual behavior.
Exactly. Huh. Again, my family, same thing, right? When this all kind of blew up and we went to the chapel and they were confronted and all that, they were the victims in all of this. Even when my first escape attempt from, you know, in middle school, what I heard then for the rest of forever was how hurt and sad they were that I would have told somebody.
Right up to the conversation that was had in 2019, late 2019.
Yep.
Of, oh, I can't believe we have to talk about this again. Don't you know how upsetting it all was
before? Right. Yeah, I specifically remember a time when my mom, my complicit abuser, I can barely breathe, sorry, was trying to do like a ladies' Bible study at the chapel or something. And I remember her talking about how hard it was for her because I had come forward with, tried to come forward with these allegations. And it was just so hard because everybody looked at her differently. So yeah, she was definitely, you know, the victim and all that. Insert sarcastic font there. Yeah. I hope that you're looking.
Is there a sarcastic font?
I don't know. I wish there was though, right? I know my friend Rebecca says that all the time, like insert sarcastic font, because there should be. Because it's like, you know, when a text, you can't really relay the sarcasm.
I was watching. Okay, here we go.
Please tell me that you are watching Schitt's Creek.
I am not.
Come on.
I'm not. Okay, but I was watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine last night. I don't know if anybody watches that. And it was the episode where Amy's father is coming into town and he loves Garamond Font. And like Jake Peralta holds up the sign in Garamond Font. Because
I don't even know what you're talking about, because what you should be watching is Schitt's Creek.
No, I should not be. I can't. I can't.
Why?
I couldn't get past the beginning.
I told you about the beginning.
I know. I cannot waste three episodes or four episodes or four seasons. I cannot. I have four do not have time seasons. To waste.
It's like three episodes. Oh my goodness.
I know. I'll try again.
No, you won't.
Someday I will.
Anyways.
Okay. I have to say this before I forget, because I keep thinking to say it and then I forget. I guess I keep coming back to the idea of how many times as a society have we in the past, I mean, I feel like we're all exhausted from the disillusionment of realizing that someone who we thought was one way is now publicly outed as being another. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bill Cosby, although I don't know if I'm dating myself, because like Bill Cosby would like be someone that I was like, wow, we all thought you were like the great American dad. And now it turns out you're this creepy pedophile. Mm-hmm. Like, ew. But why are we still so shocked mm-hmm. when someone can appear one way, when we encounter them somewhat superficially, mm-hmm. only, and again, sometimes when we encounter them in what seems to be a meaningful relationship, why are we so shocked? Mm-hmm.
The other thing that really blows my mind along that same vein is that we have literally been talking about this since the beginning of the podcast, that this is what these people do. They look like normal people. They are the people that are helping, giving a helping hand. They are the people who are kind and compassionate and generous, and they want to help, and they serve in church, and they go to church, and they raise their hands, and all the great things. I just had a squirrel in traffic moment of like, oh my goodness, we should start a church. And I was just thinking about that conversation.
We can totally clip that, but like,
okay. Oh my God.
Okay.
Anyways, we've been talking about that since the very beginning of the podcast. And yet we are 20 something episodes deep. And as people are being confronted, real people in real people's lives, people are like, no. Not that person. They're so kind. They're so amazing. They're a person of the community. They are in ministry. They are, I mean, we've literally been talking about this since the beginning of the podcast. Yes, that is who those people are, or they portray themselves to be. Like you said, Bill Cosby, best. That's a great example. Actually, you did date yourself, but we'll take it. Yeah. You know, all American dad, right? Literally everybody loves him. And turns out he's actually a super big creep. So,
right.
I don't know how else to.
Somebody can be both. We have to be able to embrace the idea that it is possible for someone to be some version of the two.
Yep.
And sometimes, okay, more of them is captured by the bad things, and therefore they're maybe more obviously bad. Like we've talked about people who everybody knows them to mm-hmm. be creepy.
Yeah.
So I think of that as a person who maybe more of them is caught up in whatever ugly, dark thing is mm-hmm. going on here. And then maybe there are people who there is a part of them that is caught up in the ugly, dark thing, but there's also a chunk of them that really has some interest in doing good mm-hmm. to maybe atone for the bad, because some level they feel bad about mm-hmm. it. But one does not preclude the other. Mm-hmm. They can in fact coexist. And anybody who's honest with themselves about our own selves understands that we can have good and bad that coexist within us.
Yeah. And I mean, you can speak more to this than I can, but I think it's true that we've talked about literally everybody has boxes, right? Like my boxes are really like the way that they I mean, they're not so much anymore, unfortunately, but they were like really super separate and whatever. But same is true for some of these offenders. They have boxes too. And those dark, deep, horrible secrets that they hold are in a box in their brain somewhere.
Can I comment on that on your behalf? Again, mm-hmm. this might be something that we clip, but those who are listening, who perhaps consider reaching out to Kate, please, please consider the reality that she does need to try to keep her boxes separate when she's trying to function out there in the world. So please be mindful of the questions that you're asking or the subjects that you bring up to her when she's in a zone that does not involve any of this stuff. And honestly, even just be conscious of that. If you're going to ask a question, please make sure that it is geared toward the greater good and not just curiosity.
Yes.
Like if there's a safety question, we are all about that.
Yep.
But if it's just GM wondering about, please filter that. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot.
Or send it to our email, honestly, because Lori checks our email more than I do. But yeah, I mean, I've had people literally come up to me in real life, in person, and ask some pretty crazy things. And I just like, it's like I have a lot of different headspaces. And when I'm in those other headspaces, it's very hard to have it kind of collide with this one. So, yeah, thanks. I appreciate that. Okay, so back to the reversing the roles of victim and offender. So this, again, goes back to also the supporters doing the same thing. So with the chapel was being held responsible by us for their lack of taking action, right?
And by the way, we are still holding them accountable. They're, like, silent on the subject.
Yeah, they're hoping it's going to blow over. You know,
we're hearing through the back door that they're doing things. The
funny thing is, though, is that like other churches are actually doing things and they're like not involved in that because they have to do their own thing now because they can't do it right. Anyways, that's just whatever. Right. But so the chapel, like, you know, again, we held them accountable. We called them out. We were trying to basically say, like, you did this wrong again. You have a pattern of doing this wrong consistently. We are holding you accountable. Other local pastors and churches are holding you accountable. And instead of the response being, you know what, you're right, we would like to actually make a change, you are correct in the pattern, and we are going to figure out why that has happened and who has made that happen, and we're going to make an actual change, the response is, well, why are you being so mean to us? Why are you being so aggressive to us? We're hurt and offended that you would literally say these things about us, which is, again, you're reversing the roles here, right?
Right.
It's the same action. It's the same like playbook that we're all now. I'm not saying that the chapel is an offender. I'm just saying that it's the same playbook for people who, I don't even know how to say that correctly because I'm too tired, but.
Right. For people who are trying to divert attention.
Yeah. And it's as a supporter, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the chapel just keeps being like, oh, we're neutral. We're neutral. You can't be neutral. You don't get to be neutral in these things because being neutral, you are siding with the offender. That's right. Tell me I'm wrong, because that's a lot of people would like to just stay somewhere in the lukewarm middle. But what you're actually doing is then siding with the offender, because that's what the offender wants you to do. Stay in the lukewarm middle, not really do anything about it, and just kind of let it blow over. So,
right. There's nothing to see here, folks. That's what they're hoping for. Right. Nothing to see here, folks, because in that space, they can just keep doing what they want.
Exactly. So, So DARVO is a real thing. And it also works. It absolutely works. It has been the thing that has kept me silent for literally decades. Again, the denial, the attacking, the terrifying of me. And again, with the reversing of the roles, putting the onus and the blame on me, I embodied that, right? It is my fault. I'm so sorry. I mean, how many times have we encountered my family or whatever, and my initial like kid response is, okay, yep, you're right. I'm so sorry. I'll put it back in the box. Right.
And even now, honestly, there have been many conversations we've had to have about the fact that you do feel sad knowing that there's real fallout here, that there are people who, because of whatever connections they have to the offenders, are struggling.
Oh, for sure.
Other women who were once children who are maybe struggling to keep all their boxes closed because this is out there now and they're not prepared to face it all, but the boxes are being shaken up. Like, right. And you do feel sad.
I spent all of this week feeling just that, right? Just, I'm sorry. And I truly am. I don't like that this is all shaken up. It needs to be shaken up. I don't like the people that are caught in the middle of it. not that I don't like them. I don't like that people are caught in the middle of it who have done nothing wrong. Okay, so I guess the question at the end of all of this is, how do we counter that? How do we make it so that Darvo doesn't succeed? Because we know that it works. Obviously, I have lived, you know, lived with the effects of that for decades. So many survivors have. And I guarantee that we will get messages from survivors saying, oh my gosh, I listened to this episode. And oh my gosh, yes, 100% this happened to me. I know for a fact that the Circle C women will feel the same way. Like, literally, it's a playbook. It is a playbook that these people are reading from. So how do we counter it? How do we
recognize it? We recognize it. First off, again, so much of what our podcast has been about is raising awareness and understanding and giving people information so that when you see it, you know what it is, mm-hmm. whether that is trafficking, a vulnerable child, a woman in need, a man in need, a Darvo, right? Right. Can we recognize it? So yes.
Right. So notice. When you watch it happening, so when someone is coming to you saying, you know, I was accused of this and I can't even believe that I would be accused of this. Do you know that the victim is, I mean, she has problems. She's, you know, a girl from a bad neighborhood. And of course she would say these things, you know, that's the kind of things that people say. We might have to cut that.
No, I think we should leave that because that is part of what happens. Honestly. So honestly, I have said, I hate that this is true, but for you being a suburban, middle-class, articulate, intelligent, capable person does make it easier for people to believe you.
Yeah. Which is horrifying.
It's horrifying. It should not be that.
Thank you for saying all those things about me though. That's really nice.
It's true. I mean, come on. But yes, it should not be that that is what it requires.
No, but that is what it requires. It is what it requires. So just keep that in mind. So recognizing that when an allegation is made, again, go back to the statistics, right? What are the statistics, Lori?
90 to 98% of allegations are found to be true.
Yeah. So again, check your brain, go back to the statistics and really think about, okay, this person is kind of really trying to discredit the victim and is really denying the behavior, and they are making themselves out to be like poor them because they were accused. What am I looking at here? Darvo. That's what you're looking at.
And oh, by the way, some recent events that have kind of triggered this, we weren't even making any of this public.
No.
So then what is the point of running around?
Right. Our only intention in the recent events was safety and the hope that this particular offender would perhaps shed, you know, have a conscience and perhaps shed light on some of the more
the rest of the story
and some of the more horrific offenders, if we're gonna, you know, put them in categories, I guess. That didn't happen. So, but that's okay. That it is what it is. But now we're watching this Darvo kind of play out, and yeah.
So first, how do we counter Darvo? We recognize it when it's happening. The second thing is that we refocus where the energy really should be spent, which is the survivor and their needs.
Yeah. I just read a thing that said, I read a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I'm on Instagram a lot. But I just read a thing and I follow some great people on Instagram, actually, like this one account that we've talked about before called Defend Survivors. But it said, you know, victims often get kind of this like now, like this commission to sort of now bring awareness and like, oh, good. Now, you know, you're a victim. So now you get to bring awareness and you get to shed the light on this. It actually should be the reverse. The supporters should be the ones shedding the light, should be that the burden should be on the rest of people. To,
right on the me's.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Me. I mean, I hate that for you, but yeah. You know, instead of it you. Always being on the shoulders of the survivors to scream it from the rooftops. So yeah, refocusing on what a survivor actually needs, which in my case is sleep for a decade. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm just saying again, who's going to win?
Come on. Bring your best.
I watched a show once.
Here we go.
It was so weird. And Patrick made fun of me for watching it. And I don't even want to say the name of it because it's so stupid. It was one of those, like, I need something to watch, you know? And they, like, went into, like, cryo sleep or whatever. And I just kept thinking, like, you know, honestly, like,
that sounds great.
I could do that. Like, I feel like, I mean, if my whole family could, I wouldn't want my kids to grow up without, like, while I'm sleeping. But, I mean, just, like, cryo sleep for, like, I don't know, like, a decade would be great. And then
just freeze everything else. You sleep for a decade.
Yeah.
And then come
You'd
right
have
back.
To sleep, too, though.
Okay.
Because, yeah, I don't want to, like.
Have me be old.
Right.
Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. I would come back and you're going to be, like, have a cane or something. Good Lord.
I'm not that old. Please.
Remind me to tell you about that later. Okay.
Somehow I don't think I'm going to like what we have to hear.
Okay. No. Okay. So on a complete side note, and we, you know, debated kind of saying this, I guess, but we originally started this podcast. Are we saying this? Are we going to say this?
We are okay. Saying this.
We started this podcast because of safety concerns. You know, the threats were continuing. We had kind of gone to the chapel. They dropped the ball, epically failed. How many times do we have to say that? Don't know. And we started it like, okay, the more people, there's strength in numbers, right? There's safety in numbers. The more people that know the truth, the less likely it is that like really horrible things can happen to myself, to Lori, to my family, that the threats can kind of materialize. So with that goal still, I guess, in mind, obviously the podcast has evolved into also raising awareness and all the things that we talked about, but with the goal of safety still in mind, I would like to just share with, our listeners that, we were recently made aware that, my grandmother, who is very much part of this and very much an abuser of mine, is currently in the hospital. The statement was that she's not doing well and that they do not expect her to recover. And the reason that I'm sharing that is because when her husband, my grandfather, passed away like a long time ago.
That represented escape attempt number two.
Exactly.
And if you listen to that episode, you remember Kate talking about how everyone being in town
and together, resulted in, some
terrible things,
really bad things. So again, just out of safety and numbers, just putting it out there that, I am so tired right now because my brain is constantly living in, a safety plan. I live life in a constant safety plan. So we're just stating it for the record, I guess.
We're also stating it for the record because we need everybody to understand that if there is anything bad that happens, we're going to be talking about it here.
Yeah. Yeah. My abusers say that they're not listening to the podcast. I find that very hard to believe, but you know, but if they are, bad things happen. We will 100% be sharing them publicly. So yeah,
that's fun.
I know I'm ugh. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Darvo is a thing. Don't let it happen to you. Don't be fooled by it. And thanks for listening.
Stay tuned. If you or someone you know is stuck in a trafficking situation and needs help, please reach out to the National Human Trafficking Hotline by calling 1-888-373-7888 or text HELP, H-E-L-P, to 233-733.